come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
This is a recorded presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled, God Positioning His People, a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study through the Book of Ruth and the Book of Esther. More information about this study is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
I have a question for you. Okay, so what does the word hesed mean? Love, loyal love, one-way love, steadfast, unconditional. Yes, I'm glad we have it down what it is. So I just want us to be clear on what we're talking about when we talk about hesed love. Hesed love is love without an exit strategy. That's the best way to put it. It is love without an exit strategy. It means that you're all in. You're in 100%. There's no turning back. This is the way it is. This is the direction that I am going. And so don't forget to pick up your scripture writing for February. We want you to be a part of that, and we want you to grow from that. We do it with a purpose so that you can grow in the Word of God and make sure that you know what the Word of God has to say. Has anyone had your hesed challenged this week? With me? We all have someone that love was a little bit hard to, I love you, yes I do, I do. I do love you, and I will continue to love you because I love you with hesed, and there's no exit strategy with that kind of love, and I love you. No matter what you do or say, I just want you to know that I love you. Is there anybody in your life this past week that you kind of went, that's exactly how I felt. Maybe I didn't say it that way, but that's exactly how I felt in it. So little side note, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I did get a little note on the Book of Ruth is read on Pentecost by Orthodox Jews. Did you know that? It's read every year at Pentecost by the Orthodox Jews. And I was wondering why they do that. One of the reasons is that it celebrates the birth of King David, and Ruth is King David's great-grandmother, right? We all knew that already, but that's why one of the reasons that they read it. And the Feast of Weeks is traditionally cited as the day of the giving of the Torah. The Torah are the first books of the first five books of the Bible, and they Torah means instruction, it means teaching, it means law, and it was introduced on this day, and the entry of the entire Jewish people into the covenant of the Torah, into the covenant of these first five books of the Bible, is a major theme of that day. And Ruth's conversion to Judaism and consequent entry into that covenant is described in Ruth. And then the other thing that this list said is another central theme of the book is hesed. I love that that came up, which is also a major theme of the Torah. That's why they read Ruth. So just a little tidbit of information. Someone stops you on the street and asks you, you will have the answer to that question about why do they read Ruth on Pentecost? Why do the Jews do that? And so, Father, as we just get into your word right now, Lord, we are so thankful for your presence with us. We are thankful for your love for us, Lord. I thank you for strength. I thank you, Lord, for your raising us up, Lord. I thank you for those of us who are well right now, and we pray for those who are not well right now, Lord. We pray for them to be raised up completely well and to get the rest that they need, get everything that they need, Lord. But to during this time of being down, Father, let us not forget that when we're down, you are still there, and we can still talk to you, and we can still read, even though we feel awful. We can still draw close to you. And sometimes, Lord, we just need to sleep and allow you to speak to us in our sleep, Lord. So I thank you for those who are just keeping connected with you, even though they are ill, and we pray for their quick recovery. Pray for your presence with us, Lord, and that we'd be alert to that presence. In Jesus' name, amen. And so the Torah is also the inspired written word. It is the inspired written word in those first five books of Moses. So anyway, the barley harvest, we talked about Hesed last week. We've got that all down. Everybody understands that. The barley harvest began in late April. And it would continue a month, and then it would go on into the next month, and that would be the wheat harvest, and that culminates in the festival or the feast of Pentecost. And Ruth and Naomi just happened to be in a particular place, and they have come, as we read last week, as we ended last week, they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the harvest festival, the beginning of the barley harvest, if you will. They were at the beginning. God has a new beginning for us. He had a new beginning for them. And we rested on that, this new beginning. And right away, as we look into chapter 2, there was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth of the family of Elimelech. His name was Boaz. So right away, we are introduced to the kinsman redeemer. Now, nobody else knows at this point in the writing that he is a kinsman redeemer. We just know that that's what his name is, but we know the end of the story, so we're going to move forward just like we knew everything, like we have it all together, right? Okay, so other translations say about him that he was a worthy man, he was a great man, he was an excellent man, a powerful man, a dignified man, a good man. And we'll see how all that is true as we move through this little story of redemption that is not so little after all. Bo means in him. As is strength. In him is strength. Boaz's name means in him is strength. The book of Ruth is a gospel story. It is a good news story. That's what gospel means. The Good News for Modern Man was one of the translations of the New Testament that was put out years ago. And good news, gospel means good news. It is that gospel story that we're looking at. Bethany shared with us one of the times when she taught how much she hates to have a sad ending at a movie or a sad ending at a book, and she won't even look at the movie, she won't even read the book, because she goes to the end first of all, and if it makes her sad, she won't even see the rest of it, because our hearts are made for gospel stories. Our hearts are made for gospel stories, stories of redemption, stories of resurrection. But all stories with happy endings have something in between. From that beginning until the end of that happy ending, all stories have lots of hurts, lots of pains, lots of disappointments along the way. That's life. It's just life. That's the way that it all works. And God permits those things in our life so that we can come to the end of ourselves. We need to come to the end of ourselves and recognize we can't do it all on our own. We can't do it all alone. Even Jesus said the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep in John 10:11. And so we have the gospel story is a journey that shows us the larger story of Jesus' death and resurrection. That's the good news. It's Jesus' death and resurrection that we have in John 11, 25. So Naomi and Ruth came into town dead and empty, but God has another plan. Their commitment to love, like Ruth's commitment to Naomi, always drives us into a gospel story. That love commitment will always drive us into a good news story if we will just hang on. It is the gospel story of the love of Christ, of his life, of his death, and the good news of his resurrection. Because the life and the death alone is nothing without the resurrection. We must have the resurrection as part of it. Loving like Jesus based on faith in Jesus gives us the joy of Jesus and sets us up for the end of the gospel story. And the end of the gospel story is what? I will rise. I will rise again. I love that at Easter time, and it frustrates me so much that they don't sing it at Easter time. But they used to sing it at Easter time all the time. I will rise again. Jesus said, I will rise again. And God is telling us, you are going to rise again, ladies. You are going to rise again. Don't be brought down by anything. So this is not, we need to remember, though, that this is not all there is. No matter how hard things are in your life right now, Jesus has you in the very center of his hands and the very center of his will. And you need to write that down, that you are in the center of God's hands. You are in the center of God's will. And remember that. Just trust him. And I know that it's easy to say that, but just take a chance and see what God will do with that. And so we get into the text, and we've already gone through verse 1. And so Ruth the Moabitess says to Naomi, please let me go to the field. She is asking Naomi, please, may I serve you? Show me if it's okay to serve you. She's asking permission to serve Naomi. Let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him, in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. And then in verse 3, then she left. It gives the idea that she got up and she left immediately. She got up and she went. She was on her way. She had no time to waste. Notice our undying, never stopping love reflects the Father's undying love for us in Christ Jesus. That's what Ruth has for her mother-in-law. Ruth ventures out, not knowing which field to go to. Everything is new to her. She's not been to Jerusalem before. The first time I went to Jerusalem, I felt like, well, I don't know. Well, what are you supposed to do here? Can we go over there? Is that okay to go over there? Oh, I wanted to go over there, but oh, I'm not supposed to go over there. I didn't know that. And you have all of these things. It's all new to her. But no matter how fuzzy our circumstances are, we can always love. No matter how fuzzy our circumstances are, we can always love. We can do chesed. Our world today holds a lot of unknowns. A lot of unknowns. But God's calling on us is always to love. You want to know what God's called you to do? God has called you to love with his love. That's what he's called you today to do. And so how do we pray that then we are to love with that chesed? We are to love like Jesus. And how do we do that? We pray because everything is uncertain. And we find ourselves praying our way through the day or even through our relationships, walking with the Good Shepherd on this journey of love becomes like breathing. Walking with Jesus becomes like breathing, a natural thing that happens, and we just walk with him. So let's not waste our energy on the things that we can't put in order. Does anybody have anything in your life that you just can't get in order? My closet is one of those things, but that's not a big deal. But there are things in our lives that frustrate us because we can't put them in order. But God says, simply love in the disorder. Just simply love in the disorder. No matter what the circumstances, we are to simply just love. And so Ruth just happened to come to this part of this field. It says she just happened to come to the part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And now behold, Boaz came from, just happened to come from Bethlehem and said to reapers with his great blessing, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. The Lord be with you. The Lord bless you. Praise and glory to the Lord is what's being said here. He comes to his workers. He comes to his servants. The Lord be with you. I would say this is like Jesus coming to us and saying, the Lord is with you. I am with you. I will never leave you. And for us to say, the Lord bless you. Not the Lord bless Jesus. No, that's not what we're saying. But blessings to the Lord, glory to the Lord, praises to the Lord. It just happened. God's hand was leading Ruth from the moment she walked out of the door of the house. It was the hand of God. And chesed love allows God's hand to lead us when we trust him like that. If I can grasp this concept and allow that to shape my day, every day is going to be an adventure. Do you look at every day as an adventure? I'm excited for you if you do, because I don't. And I want to. I want to look at every day as an adventure. And if I'm trusting him, if he's directing me, then every day is going to be an adventure for me. How freeing is that to know that whatever happens, I'm in God's hands. Everything's okay. Everything everywhere is fine. Because God's got me. She was reaping by hand. She did the men's work. Widows were permitted to follow the reapers and collect scraps, Leviticus 19:9. Don't reap right up to the edge so that there would be enough for those who didn't have any. Can you just picture here Ruth bending down, collecting these individual stalks and a grain in the hot sun? She is unthanked by Naomi or anyone else. She is unprotected. She is unknown. She is brokenhearted. And she has absolutely no hope for the future. This is chesed love. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. And I don't know if there's someone in here tonight that needs to hear that, that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Psalm 34:18, take that home with you if you are that person. Ruth takes a step farther and she does a concrete thing. She goes to work. She goes and does a physical thing and she gets that chesed into action. She goes out into that field. It's a quiet doing that fits the needs around you, the needs of others. We all can do something. We bear one another's burdens. Sometimes that's what we do. Jesus put shoe leather to his chesed love. He was always doing. He was always meeting needs. He put shoe leather to it. There was action in what he did. I was listening to something about Kobe Bryant, and I want you to know, last night was the hardest night I've ever tried to study, because every time I would try to think of something, I always would see Vanessa. I would see Vanessa's face, and it was distracting to get that, you know. It was a distracting thing as I was studying. And then through the night, I didn't sleep last night. I hardly slept last night because all I could see was Vanessa's face. And so I've just been informed that there are groups specifically praying for Vanessa. So I'm excited to hear that. And I know that we are some of those groups that are specifically praying for Vanessa and the children, as well as the rest of the families. For those of you who don't know, the coach at OCC was Jeff, Pastor Jeff's coach. And so he knew him. And this is really touching to all of us. And it reminds us that life is short. And it doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how healthy you are or unhealthy you are. Our days are numbered. And one of the things that Kobe Bryant said was, live your life every day as if it was your last. The other thing I just got, and I don't know if anybody else has seen it, is that there's a whole thing on Kobe saying, God is good, and you don't know it until you can't carry that cross anymore, and he comes and he carries that cross for you. So that was encouraging to hear that, wasn't it? Yes, and to know that the others on there, but when you hear about those who are the survivors, it's the survivors that we're praying for. And just that the Lord would comfort them and strengthen them and meet their needs and whatever the Lord leads you to pray. So all of that to say, I was listening, watching one of the clips, Kobe. And Kobe once took the time to shake the hand of every person that had come out to listen to him that day. There were 100 people, and every person got a handshake, got a welcome, got a question, and got a question answered, and all of the time looking at that one person until that was completed, until that person was done talking. Kobe had a way of paying attention. One of the other things I just learned that some of you might have also have learned is that his parents refused to go to any of his games. Weird, huh? We think that everybody's got it together. But then we find out everybody has hard times. Everybody has those hard times. And so he knew how to pay attention. He knew how to pay attention. Jesus paid attention to the people, and we are to do the same. Sometimes being helpful is just to be able to say an encouraging word to someone. And sometimes that can be a hard thing to do, to say an encouraging word, because we meet up with someone that we're not particularly fond of. I know you guys don't have any of those people ever in your life, but you come against someone that you're not particularly fond of, and you are trying to come up with an encouraging word, and you just say, hi, hello. While the mind is going, I can come up with something. God, help me come up with something. Because God calls us to encourage one another. That's what Ruth did as well, encouraging one another. She encouraged Naomi. And every time I endure in love, God shows up. Every time I endure in love, God shows up. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him, 1 John 4:16. So not only does Ruth happen to arrive at Boaz's field, but they happen to be there at the same time, which we already talked about. And as they are there, Boaz asks the question of his foreman, whose young woman is this? Now, he's not being demeaning to her, because in that culture, everybody belongs to somebody. Everybody belongs to a family. Everybody belongs to a group. So he wasn't saying in the terms that we would say now that she belonged to somebody. But she belonged to, whose family does she belong to? Whose woman is she? Who's the man that protects and provides for her? She had no, we know that, she had no protector. She had no husband. She had no tribe. She had no family. She had no food. She was carrying the responsibility of the men. She was without a male protector, and without a male protector, Ruth is sexually vulnerable. Without money, she is financially destitute. Without a friend, she is lonely. And without a country, she's open to prejudice. But Ruth's character is revealed in verses 6 and 7. All of her character is in there. She had come in early. So the servant who was in charge of the reapers, he first of all, he says she's the Moabite woman. And she came back with Naomi. And she said, please let me glean and gather in your field. She came to us and she asked permission. Is it okay if I do this? She just didn't come in and go, oh, there's an area where I can glean it. Okay, I'll get in with all of those. No, she went to the appropriate person and she asked permission before she moved on her way and took anything that was there. She was there early. She came, she continued, she was a hard worker from morning until now, although she did rest a little while. And so in Ruth, we see that combination of confidence and humility. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. In confidence and humility, having those two together, she makes herself vulnerable out of love when she herself is suffering. Remember, she's a widow too. And she's in the midst of her own suffering, and she may even have lost her husband nearer to the time that they are right now than Naomi had. I assume Naomi's husband died first, and then, as it says, because it says that he died, and then his boys married the Moabite women. And so this is fresh for Ruth. This is still fresh in her heart, and yet she was a very gutsy lady. Notice that Ruth is not playing the victim card. Ladies, let me say this to us. We are not victims. We may have been victimized. We may have been a victim, but God says, I am more than a conqueror through Jesus Christ. So I am no longer a victim to anything. I no longer carry that card. I am free because of him. And so Boaz speaks to her, and he calls her, first of all, my daughter, just like Father God would call us. Oh, my daughter. He speaks to her with respect. He comes to her with respect. He comes to her with a gentleness and a love, just like the Holy Spirit comes to us with that gentleness and that love that comes through. And he says, will you listen? Will you listen? And God's asking us right now, will you listen? Will you listen to me? Because I've been talking to you, he says. I've been talking to you all day. Will you listen? And I don't know exactly where that just came from, but will you listen? So don't go glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. Stay close. Jesus calls us to stay close and stay close in fellowship. Stay close together and stay close in fellowship. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Keep your eyes where they belong. Pay attention to where you're at. Stay in that place. And by the time, have I not commanded the young men to not have anything to do with you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. Drink from what the young men have drawn. First of all, by the time Boaz he didn't come to her and say, hey, you're free to stay in my fields as long as you want. That leaves her open with, yeah, okay, so what exact, I don't. Can I? Could? No. He commands her. He gives her directions. He gives her actually seven different directions that she's to do. And so she can trust him. She is comfortable. She knows what's expected of her. And he said it publicly for all to hear that Ruth was in. And then he takes care of her purity by talking about the young men. Now, this drinking of the vessels of the young men, drinking of the water that the young men has drawn. In this culture, it was a big deal to drink from someone else's vessel. If you are drinking from someone else's vessel, you are being invited and welcomed into community, into the family, to be a part of the whole group. The Samaritan woman in John 4 was shocked that Jesus was willing to put his lips to the vessel that she drank from because she was a Samaritan and he was not, and he was a man as well. Jesus offers us living water and tells us to drink of it freely and come into the family is what he's saying. Just come on into the family. And in less than a minute, Boaz has transformed Ruth's life in verse 10. And she fell on her face. She fell on her face. Ruth's incredible sense of relief is our first glimpse of her feelings. It's the first time we have had a chance to see how does Ruth feel right now. And she's on her face, bowed down to the ground, and said to him, "Why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner?" She is scared, and she's clearly aware of her of where she stands, of her social standing, and that she is a foreigner. She says, "You have noticed the unnoticed. You have noticed the unnoticed." Boaz, it says, saw her. He saw her, and Jesus is saying to you right now, "I see you. I see you." And sometimes he says to me, "Yeah, I see you." You all know what that means, don't you? When he says to you, "I see you." And then you feel that little tap on you. Excuse me, pardon me. I see you. God sees you. He hears you and he notices you. And Ruth has been doing that with Naomi all along, and now for the first time, someone does it with her. And Ruth's love stuns Boaz. In verse 11, Boaz answered and said to her, "It's been fully reported to me. I've learned all about what you've done." There in verse 11, you've already studied it. I've learned all about you. He notices that Ruth has loved Naomi even in the middle of her own suffering. Her love shocked the whole town. Her love shocked the whole town, because chesed love will do that. It is so rare for us to have it. And then he says to her in verse 12, "May the Lord repay your work and a full reward be given to you by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." You have come under the wings of God. I remember years ago of an illustration of after a huge fire, the one of the guys coming through after starting the cleanup, and they kick this little black thing, and as it rolls, underneath comes all of these little ducklings, all these little chicks, because mama put her wings out and covered them, and that's what he's saying to her. He's saying, "You have allowed the God of Israel to spread his wings over you." And that has been a choice. He discovers what motivates Ruth to love so fiercely under his wings, whose wings she's taken refuge. Ruth doesn't follow the God of Israel because it's part of who Naomi is. Ruth's whole being is hidden in God. Faith is not a feeling. Faith is not a feeling. It's a place where we hide. Faith is not a healing, it's a place where we hide close to the heart of God. And now Boaz, and so then she said, let me find favor in your sight, my Lord, for you have comforted me, have spoken kindly to your maidservant, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime. So now the wording suggests, as we look at this, he says he invites her to dinner. He invites her to dinner. Jesus says to us, come and dine. Come and eat with me. It was a different thing when you went and had a meal in that culture. It meant you are part of the family, something that Boaz has a little law, a little thing that he broke, is men and women are in the same place together. And they're all around the same table. And they're all conversing. And they're all eating a meal together. And they're all saying, the only way that that happens is if you're brother and sister, mom and dad, family. Only if you're family. And he's inviting Ruth in because of that chesed love that she has, that he's so drawn to. And he is showing that he is the Redeemer. Now he's beginning to reveal that. And it says, come here and eat of the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. So she sat beside the reapers. That's an interesting thing. She sat beside the reapers. She didn't assume a particular seat, but sat on the edge of everything. She was just on the edge. She was there, but just on the edge. And because she didn't push her way in, you know how the Word of God says that those who go up into the front, you want to be the one who is asked to come from the back up to the front instead of being the one that's up in front and asked to go to the back, right? Okay, so that's where she is at right now. The Word suggests that she humbly took that place at the edge. And then it goes on to say that he passed her this parched grain to her, and it indicates that he heaped up her plate. He heaped up her plate with all kinds of food for her. And she had some leftovers. Now, we've already talked about establishing that bond and eating together, and him breaking the rules and all of that. In that culture, you never clean your plate. Because if you clean your plate, it indicates to your host that you went home hungry. Funny thing about that. And interesting thing about that. So she left a little bit. And she had so much anyway. And they noticed that she was packing it up to take it to Naomi. And they knew she was taking it to Naomi. They knew that she wasn't going to take it to the dog. It was not a doggy bag, that she was taking it for Naomi, that she was taking it to share. And God calls us, whenever you eat, whatever you eat, when you're eating my word, go out and share it. Take some with you and give it out to somebody else, because we all have more than we need. We all have been so well fed in the Word of God, and we all need to pass that on to others. And so that's what they were saying in that part. And so she kept some back. And when she rose up to glean, it gives an indication that she was the first one to get up. And again, she's going back to work. And the interesting thing, too, is that men don't usually serve women, but Jesus said, I have come here to serve, not to be served. And here we have Boaz serving the women. Boaz is a giver and a protector of life. His Redeemer is showing. And when she arose, she must have been first to get up. She had no time to waste. And after she got up, Boaz instructs the men to make extra provision for her. And he wants them to do it in such a way not to embarrass her, not to demean her, not to make it look like, oh, charity sort of thing, but to leave hands full on purpose. leave something behind for everyone, for her to glean. Again, his Redeemer is showing in that. Boaz has welcomed Ruth in and cared for her, and he's followed the letter of the law, but now he's grasped the heart of the law. Now he has the heart of the law, which is to love your neighbor as yourself, Leviticus 19:18. Why does Boaz get so much more generous? Chesed love draws you, and he wants to draw in the others into that Chesed love. He wants to draw in his workers into that Chesed love. He wants to draw in his workers and his servants to want to give what they are seeing happening. And so he wants to allow them to give out, and it doesn't even cost them anything, and that's a good thing. So Jesus said, as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you, John 15:9. So we are to pass it on. Ruth's love creates a new standard for Boaz. It disrupts his world. In fact, it disrupted the whole city of Bethlehem, just like Jesus' birth did. So all of this Chesed love has disrupted there in Jerusalem, there in Bethlehem, as they were there. Boaz includes all of his workers in this act of love. He draws them in and lets them find out how awesome it is to give. And so we move on to verse 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and she beat out what she had gleaned, and about an ephah of barley. About an ephah of barley is about 5.5 gallon tub, or 16 cups, and it's enough food for one person to eat to support one person for at least 2 weeks. So they have 1 week of food. It's the equivalent of at least a half a month's wages in one day. A half a month's wages in one day, she collects it in. Now we see something happening, though. Now she brings it in, verse 18, and then she took it up and went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, so she brought out and gave her what she had kept back, so this nice grain that she had had left over. The mother-in-law said, Where have you gleaned today, and where did you work? Blessed is the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the man's name with whom I work today is Boaz. And we see Naomi come to life. Naomi's coming to life. Remember, Naomi's depressed. Naomi is down, and we're almost finished here, so So, look how excited Naomi is. She's lived in that depression. She's lived in that death. And her Redeemer has come. Her resurrection is there. She will rise again, and you can almost see that she's giddy about it. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, for he has not forsaken his kindness for the living and for the dead. And Naomi said to her, this man is a relationship of ours and our close relative. And she doesn't say anything about the Redeemer, but she's, can you see her face? Excited, this newness. This is a new beginning for her. A new beginning for Naomi. It's a new beginning for Ruth. He's one of our relatives. Ruth the Moabitess said, he also said to me, you shall stay close by my young men until they have finished all the harvest. What? Did I read that wrong? Is that what Boaz said? No. But he said to stay with the young women. But here's how I see what she just said in there. And this is not a thus saith the Lord, and I'm not adding to scripture or anything like that. But I see her with the idea that Boaz told her to stay in the front of the women, closely behind the men, so that she gets first fruits. So that she gets to pick it up first. And so anyway, she could have Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it's good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women. and that people do not meet you in another field. Ladies, don't let people meet you in another field. You are believers in Jesus Christ. There are fields you do not belong in. Don't let somebody else find you there by not being there. Stay in the field that you are supposed to be in. And Ruth could have said, look, I was there, and you don't know what he said. And I'm saying that he told me to stay with the young men, and now you're saying that he said, really what I should do is this, and I really, you don't know what he told me. Instead, she says, okay. She just says, okay. And from that point on, so she stayed close by the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. She stayed where God positioned her. And she listened, and she learned, and she was teachable, and this chesed has caused us to stay even when we feel like we just can't take it anymore. And God will move us into next week learning about that kinsman redeemer. And so, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the things we've learned and for the way that you have grown us and will continue to grow us. Lord, help us in our small groups to bring glory to your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
Giving up.